This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's the day for you. Because earlier today, we heard Carlos Mendoza officially announce the Mets opening day starting pitcher. It was a surprise. It turned out to be Clay Holmes. We have just received word, and I don't know who it is. Louie will announce it to us. That the New York Yankees have announced their opening day starting pitcher.
Really? Let's hear it.
So I'm going to guess Marcus Stroman. It feels so fitting that the Met opening day starter is Clay Holmes, the Yankee cast-off reliever-turned-starter, and the Yankee starter is the Yankee cast-off who remained in the rotation but couldn't make the start last year because the days didn't line up. So I'm going to guess who is Marcus Stroman. Do you have a guess? I think Rodon is the other option, and then I guess...
But Rodon hasn't pitched in 2 weeks, so I'm going to say it's Rodon.
According to Aaron Boone, Carlos Rodon is the Yankees' opening day starter.
Only because he told us that was the case.
No, he said it was either or, though.
No, but he said, yeah.
He didn't say, he didn't lean one way or the other. Damn it.
Thought I had that one.
And Max Fried will pitch game two.
Oh, very good. Well, I think the thing with Fried is, obviously, he's earned the right, I guess, if you will, to start opening day, but the days didn't line up. We heard that last year with Boone and Stroman, so it makes sense. So they're going to go back-to-back lefties to start the year. So Carlos Rodon gets the nod, the opening day start at Yankee Stadium against the Brew Crew.
He better not jack it up.
You know what? He could jack it up as long as the Yankees respond by scoring 9 of their own.
That's true.
Go win the game 9-8. So Boone has now countered Mendy. Did he do that on purpose? Did he say, all right, Mendy, you want to announce one starter? I'm going to go announce game one and game two.
They probably talked to each other and were like, hey, let's do this today. Let's get a news dump.
Nobody's it's opening day. About it over the weekend. Opening day starter deadline 4 p.m. today. So you had to hit the deadline.
No, it's not.
Yes,
no,
it is.
There's a deadline?
You didn't see that new thing for Manfred before the season started? There is an opening day starter deadline.
No,
it is March 14th at 4 p.m.
He's making it up. All right. There's no way that's real.
Okay. Believe me if you don't.
If it's real, I got to take it out. Because I'm the baseball geek. I should know this.
You must have missed that email. You weren't CC'd on that email. I know Rob personally. He sent me an email.
I'm just going to confirm
so
this.
You were believable until that last statement.
Yes.
Well, I've been in the business a long time. I know Robbie personally. I call him Robbie.
He was going to be believable until I said, hey, Teak, if there's a real deadline, I wear an L. If there's not a real deadline, Loogie wears an L. And as soon as I say that, Loogie would have backed off and the whole thing would have been
I would have folded on the question.
Right, immediately. So congratulations. Carlos Rodon goes from blowing kisses 2 years ago in Anaheim to having a solid year last year, certainly. I mean, he went out and made all the starts to now getting the nod of opening day at Yankee Stadium. Let's go to Ozzy in Woodridge. How are you, Oz?
What's up, Ozzy?
What's up? Rob is Loogie's man friend. Quick.
Very nice.
That's a good one. Off the cuff.
Thank you. Yeah, man. If Sean didn't tweet about that Clay Holmes opening day news, then we know he is truly unplugged and not listening to anything anywhere.
Well, has he? I haven't checked his Twitter account. Has he been tweeting on vacation?
He did text you this morning, didn't he?
He did. He broke his own rule because he claimed he was blocking me, but then he texted me this morning about fantasy baseball. So, Sean has not tweeted in a full day, okay? In fact, he tweeted on his plane ride. So he was on the plane and he wrote, "In-flight TV is broken, kind of like the Giants quarterback situation. Attempting to be un-Evan-like and throw my phone in the ocean for a few days. Wheels up. See you next week." Meanwhile, he hasn't thrown his phone over because he's texting me today about fantasy. And yesterday, he responded to my Pat Shurmur text message.
Right.
Yeah, but of all the news, if he didn't tweet about Holmes opening day starter for the Mets because he's been giving us crap ever since he signed with the Mets, then you know he's cut off a little bit. So good for him.
I'll give him a little bit of credit, sure.
Two nuggets for you, Evan. You do with the information what you wish. Eli Manning trounced Caitlin Clark 76-51 in Papa Shot.
Ah.
Maybe you could set something up.
You think there's a challenge? There's a challenge to be had now?
Yep.
Well, I think it's a reminder that even if you're good at basketball, you can lose to someone who's not good at basketball on Papa Shot, because I kick everyone's ass in Papa Shot, and I'm very unathletic. So I would challenge Eli. Eli, if you got any balls, you'll take me on in Papa Shot from Barclays Center at that brand-new Key Club, and I'll whip that ass all over the Key Club.
There you go. And if you beat him, you can say you beat he didn't make the Hall of Fame. So, no, you can't say that.
Don't be a jackass.
But, Evan, this is more important. I don't know if you addressed the situation maybe over the weekend. Regarding Jet and his natural curiosity about that mysterious number.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. Just tell him it represents and refers to the pure joy and satisfaction. And it's amazing because it represents the year that his two favorite teams won the world championship.
Oh. I was waiting for something.
That's actually tame.
Yeah, I was waiting for something dirty. Because
you can actually take that advice.
I could. You know what? I may. Yeah, 2 days ago I mentioned this briefly that I noticed my son, who likes to keep notes for himself, had a note that he should Google what 6-9 means when you put the numbers together. Mm. And so I, as a father, was like, man, I guess I have to have the chat with him. By the way, here are the latest lines on Clay Holmes winning the Cy Young. The books are different, but it's either 150-1 or 125-1 or 120-1. Hmm. So his numbers have come down a bit based on how he's pitched in spring training. I don't think starting opening day really impacts that at all, but he's looked good in spring training. And look, we saw Seth Lugo have a great year last year and the year before that. So we have seen a reputation now of starting pitchers or relievers converting to starters and then having some pretty good success. Edgar is in Manhattan. What's up, Edgar?
Hey, what's going on, Evan? What's up, Tiki?
All's good, dude. What's up?
All right, my man. No, I was just listening to the conversation and about Clay Holmes, and the Yankees can't be mad at the next National League Cy Young. No other team can either, because no other team saw what the Mets saw. So you got to give kudos to this Mets pitching staff. They're like they call the Mets pitching lab, right? Or whatever it is.
Well, here's what I'll say, Edgar, about the Mets pitching lab, all right? Because right now it's getting a lot of high praise, and it deserves the high praise.
Right.
They got to go do it again now, all right? Clay Holmes having a good spring training and Clay Holmes starting opening day is not a victory quite yet. He now has to go out and make 25 or 30 starts and be effective. So I give the lab a ton of credit for what they accomplished last year, but this year's kind of like a heat check for the pitching lab.
Well, also last year with Seve in particular, it was managing the injury, right? His years as a Yankee, he was just always hurt.
Right. The biggest problem with Seve was staying on the field, and Seve had an interview yesterday in which he complimented the Met doctors and how they're on another level. Yankee doctors were good, but the Met doctors were on another level.
Right. Because when Seve was healthy with the Yankees, he was unbelievable.
Right.
But he just couldn't stay healthy. And so whether that was, I mean, I don't know if that's the pitching lab and mechanics and things of that nature. Maybe it is. But it's just, he was healthy.
Yeah, it's everything. So Seve did this interview talking about the trainers that the Mets have. Mm-hmm. And I think some Yankee fans took it as a slight because Seve said, hey, the Yankee trainers were good. The Met trainers were on another level. I don't think that was a knock at the Yankees. I think it was more a compliment mm-hmm. of the trainers he worked with last year.
Right.
And he specifically talked about the food, about the sleeping habits, like a lot of the little things you forget about and how it impacted him.
Yeah, things I've been telling you for the last year and a half.
You have been telling me that. But you know what? When he was talking about sleep, I was really interested. Because you've told me about sleep, and I appreciate it.
It's the most important thing I do every day.
No, and I agree with you, but you know what you haven't told me?
What's that?
Okay, how do you do it? Sleep more. How?
I don't think when I get home.
Well, Seve had a whole careful plan with the sleep.
Was it?
Yeah.
Just for a second. You think too much. Like, you never stop thinking.
That's an understatement.
Right.
That's
you know what I mean? So when I get home and after I have dinner with the wife and the kids, I'd like watch mindless television.
Yeah.
Just stupid nonsense because I don't want to think. And so when I go to bed, my mind is just kind of like, all right, let's just shut down.
You're right.
Whereas you are like, all right, what did Tiki say to you? Oh, let me, you know, I can make a bit out of this. All right, good.
I like to go to former president's boyhood homes.
Right. There's this kid in the minors. I saw him like 3 years ago. Actually, I know. I think he was in college at Auburn or something like that. Let me go look where he is now. Oh, wait. Yeah, he's going to be in the majors in 3 years. Oh, I got to write that down. Like, your mind doesn't stop.
No, you're right. That's my biggest problem. I'm thinking about like, oh, I think that was a great comparison. And you're right. You're right. I got to somehow change that. I was listening to Seve, though, thinking, is he going to offer some more advice besides that? And basically, it was so simple, but it's so true.
What do you do? What do you say? Because I didn't hear it.
Sleep in complete darkness. Mm. And we don't do that.
I do.
Well, you're smart.
Not with my wife is home. She has to have a TV on.
Right.
But I'll bury my head, and sometimes I'll put earphones in. But when she's away, as soon as I get in bed, TV goes off, phones on the other side of the room. I want nothing bothering me.
And that's probably going to cause you to get better sleep when your wife's not there for that reason.
100%.
And so it's a great idea because you don't even think about it. Like, even a hallway light or a bathroom mm-hmm. light or your cell phone or your tablet's on. I fall asleep a lot of times to YouTube. That's a light.
Right.
Or the shades being up. Something as simple as that. Right. I mean, the shades being up, all you try to sleep in, all of a sudden the sun's coming out. So that was a good piece of advice. Yeah. I was like, all right, Seve's helping me.
Dudley sleep in your bed?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, well, that's a bad one, too.
That doesn't affect me, my dog sleeping in the bed.
Mine does.
Why? Does he wake you up? Does she wake you up? I'm sorry.
She's not.
That's very offensive. I apologize.
She doesn't, but she's heavy. And so she wants to, like, sit right on you. And so she's heavy, and she gets hot. And so midway in the middle of the night, if she sleeps in the bed, most of the time she sleeps in her cage, but if she's in the bed, I'll just wake up sweating. And it's because she's on top of me, baby.
Dog!
CJ, get the hell off of me.
The truth is, when Aaron Rodgers went into the darkness 2 years ago, and we were all fascinated by it, I know I was, like, going to the bathroom, this, that, he probably got the best freaking sleep to man.
Right.
Because there was nothing that could possibly be a distraction to wake you up.
Right.
And that really is the number one thing.
Right. Unless you're not used to it. Because was he in nature?
Aaron Rodgers?
Was that in nature, or was that in...
I think it was in a room.
In a room.
Yeah, but there was nothing.
Right.
No light, no sound, like complete silence.
Yeah.
Like, that's the beauty of it. I bet you sleep 13 hours if you do that.
Because you don't know when to wake up.
You have no idea when to wake up. There's no hint for you to wake up. Because even if you go into a dark room and the blinds are up, you could probably see through it a little bit as you're sleeping that the light's coming out. So I think you need that utter, complete darkness. Oh, by the way, if you guys aren't aware, and this is more good news for Giant fans, DeMarcus Lawrence left the Dallas Cowboys. He signed with the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Micah Parsons have gone completely at it on social media.
Yeah, I thought they were boys.
And here's how it started. Very simple thing. And to me, DeMarcus Lawrence dropped the nuke, okay? Like, we'll get to what they ended up saying to each other, but listen to this first little thing that Lawrence did. To me, this set the whole thing off. Here's DeMarcus Lawrence being interviewed after signing with Seattle and talking about leaving the Dallas Cowboys and signing with the Seattle Seahawks.
You know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Hey,
We're here. DeMarcus Lawrence, welcome to the Seahawks. Thanks for joining us.
Wow.
That's harsh.
Bro!
Wow, that's a fan take.
Yes!
That's what every fan, non-Cowboy fan, says about the Cowboys. You're never winning a Super Bowl here.
That's why I saw that, and I'm like, oh, my God, he started the whole damn thing.
Right.
He just throws out there, yeah, I'm never going to win losers.
And he lives in Dallas, and his family's going to stay in Dallas.
And he was there for a long time, too.
And he's throwing shade like that the minute he walks out the door.
That's a big shade.
Yeah, I mean, good luck going to restaurants.
I mean, imagine if Saquon Barkley said that upon signing with the Eagles, like, hey, love New York, it'll always be my home, love everybody, but man, I knew I wasn't winning a Super Bowl there. Mm. Like, bro, you said he was dead to us. He would have been dead to us 10 times over if he said that.
Right.
So,
what was the reaction from the fan base?
So, obviously, the fan base, I think the Cowboy fan base is split. Some of them are saying, he's right, Jerry Jones is an idiot. And obviously, some are very bothered. But Michael Parsons responded to this clip by saying, this is what rejection and envy looks like. This is some clown bleep.
Wow.
And then he's got a clown emoji. DeMarcus Lawrence then responds on social media to Michael Parsons' response by saying, DeMarcus is brutal, man, in a good way, I guess. Calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left.
Oh, wow. That's harsh.
Oh, my God.
And Micah obviously responded.
No.
He didn't?
He did not. So I checked recently to see, is there an update on this? Like, how does this end? And I have not seen a response. That was the last response, was him saying, rejection and envy looks like this is some clown bleep. And then DeMarcus' response, and that's how it's ended.
Mm.
Now, I don't know. Do you think Mike has got to respond?
He has to. That's Mike Parsons' MO, right? Is to be a social media troll. Like, that's just what he does.
That's what he does?
He has to do it. He has to respond. He can't let it die.
Conspiracy theory.
Go ahead.
It's a work. Parsons has a podcast.
Ah.
And he will talk about it on the podcast, or he'll have Lawrence on the podcast.
Mm. You think this whole thing is a work?
Here's why. Bro, you sign with the Seahawks and Sam Darnold. What Super Bowl are you winning there? It's not like you sign with the Chiefs or the Ravens or Saquon with the Eagles.
That's a fair point.
Go back to Seattle. Yeah, we all know Dallas sucks, so we appreciate you dunking on them, but you sign with Seattle.
Yeah, but I think that the player probably looks at that situation differently than we do as fans. I mean, here's the one thing about Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott, and I think you'd agree with this. I think that most Cowboy fans and you as an independent football observer would say, they ain't winning anything with that team.
No.
I think that you can look at Seattle with still a young head coach, with an ownership group and a general manager that's won before, and Sam Darnold, who you're still not fully sure you know what he is, and say, they could win. Not going to bet on it, but they could. So I don't think it's nuts for DeMarcus Lawrence to think that way and say, I could win here, but I know I can't win there.
Yeah, I think he's probably also saying about Dallas, our division's going to kick our butt, meaning if he stayed in the NFC East for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Right. Philly is the best team in the division.
He could be looking. You're right.
Washington is going to continually get better in the division.
I don't rule out, though, Tommy, because Tommy, I give him where I trust Tommy is sniffing out if something's a work or not.
Mm.
Because he did it like immediately with the Pat Mahomes Sr. thing with John Rocker. Like, I was so pumped. Like, he was the first one who's like, bro, it's a work.
Mm.
So I'm going to give you a level of you may be right. I think we'll know you're right if he goes on the podcast. As soon as we hear DeMarcus Lawrence is potting with Micah Parsons, then we're going to know.
Yeah. It's also the fact that Micah has not responded yet. And he responds immediately to when things like this happen.
Yeah.
And the fact that he hasn't, it's been over a day now. You're probably right, Tommy.
But the other possibility is that it started off as a shoot. And they're going to make it a work, which means this is all real.
Mm.
Now Micah's gone behind the scenes to say, hey, guys, DeMarcus, we've been boys.
Right, chill out.
Let's chill out. And oh, by the way, let's take advantage of this and make it something. But it is real. It started real.
Let me give you another conspiracy theory, and I'll tie back to New York. We talked about the Mikal Bridges minutes thing.
Yeah.
And how maybe other people in the locker room feel the same way, and he's the messenger. Maybe there are people on the Cowboys that realize they're not winning because Jerry Jones just runs things. He's ran this place, you know, not into the ground, but we're not going to win a Super Bowl. Let's feed it to the guy leaving. He'll say it, and then Parsons can act like the hero, but this is really the message, and maybe Dallas, right. Jerry Jones, he loses power. Just a thought. Because
it would have been more effective.
That's a conspiracy, though.
But it would have worked if he was specific about what the issue in Dallas was. He just said, "I know I can't win in Dallas."
But I think most Cowboy fans realize what the issue is in Dallas. But Jerry Jones.
But what? Or is it Dak Prescott? Or is it the fact they can't win with that quarterback? You tell me. You could argue both.
I think it's probably a little bit of both. Dak just can't win the big game in the postseason. He's great in the regular seasons. Almost won an MVP a couple of years ago. But he's constantly hurt, and something always gets in their way, whether it's self-inflicted or they just run up against better teams. It's been the same way for a decade now.
That's why that answer is very split. It could be Jerry. It could also be Dak. I don't know what DeMarcus meant unless he's further asked about it. And if he does do that podcast with Parsons, he ain't going to ask him that. What is he going to say? So why do you think we suck?
Right.
Why do you think we can't win? By the way, speaking of podcasts, Kendrick Perkins was critical of Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart doing a podcast. They responded to that. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. Plus your calls, 888-808-1019. Coming up in the next 10 minutes or so, James Dolan did an interview with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. I got two interesting clips that we'll play for you, including Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart's response to the criticism that they should not be potting during the course of an NBA season. If you've missed any of the show, you could rewind it on the Odyssey app. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Let's go to Butch. He's calling from the fine state of New Jersey. What's up, Butch?
Yes, sir. First-time caller, long-time listeners. Awesome. I think you guys are great.
Appreciate it.
I just want to reach out to all these Giants fans out there. I think that we did pretty good in the free agency. We tackled a couple of positions in the secondary that were pretty good signings. We got a good backup tackle, Hudson from Cleveland. We got that backup defensive end who had six sacks last. I think we did pretty good as far as these signings. The GM did not sit on his hands. He was pretty aggressive.
Right.
I like his attitude. My question is now, everybody's question now, who's going to play quarterback? Now, my thinking is I would have liked to see a bridge quarterback, somebody young. I would have liked to see Justin Fields, but the Jets beat us to that. And I like Wilson. I just don't want to see an older quarterback where he's going to eat up whatever money we have left over for free agency.
Right.
And I'm not so convinced on these two quarterbacks coming out this year. We got five picks in the first 105 picks. I think we should build our roster with those five guys, those five picks.
Right, but what are you doing at quarterback, though?
Okay, here we go. I think the kid from Syracuse is good. Okay. Now, the kid from Ohio State's not bad either. Now, 2026, there's some good young quarterbacks coming out. Now, look, are we going to be contenders this year? Let's face reality. I'm a great fan. I don't think we are. So, you know what? We could bank on a franchise quarterback next year. Just use the bridge quarterback for this year. Now, but
The problem you're running into is, can this administration survive not winning games and also not putting a young future quarterback on the roster this year?
I think as long as they stay healthy, they'll win some games this year. Like, we saw this even in 2023, two seasons ago, when, like, they weren't good, but they were in a lot of games. And we talked about it often leading into before last season, how they easily could have won 9 games last year or 2 years ago. They lost these one-score games just because they weren't good enough. Like, they were banged up, and Daniel Jones wasn't healthy, and Tommy DeVito was, I don't know, playing hero, whatever was going on. They just weren't good enough. But if they keep building the depth like they are, then I think they can survive some of these injuries a little bit better. The one thing he did say, which is a concern, is
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen.
Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are going to command a good penny.
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers is going to be over 40 a year, I think.
Yeah, and that just feels like, I don't know, it doesn't sit right with me.
Well, and also it's something you're going to feel down the road, because if you sign Rodgers to a 2-year, $90 million deal, which I've heard Boomer float out there, and I think that sounds right, aren't you going to have to throw in these void years, which is going to spread out the cap hit, which means you're going to pay the Rodgers piper years from now?
At some point, yes. And that's not ideal. Especially if you survive it. If the regime survives, you know, even if they don't survive it, you ladle it onto the next regime.
Right. So, For a bridge.
Which kind of doesn't make sense. You're right about Justin Fields. If Justin Fields would have been a Giant, we would have been, I don't think ecstatic about it, but if he won some games and he was just a cheap bridge, great. Because if you're going to get a bridge, he better be cheap.
Headline. Tiki Barber jealous of the New York Jets. I don't know if you guys heard that, but that's what I heard.
I have my issues with Justin Fields, but a guy like that.
Yeah.
But the problem is there's not any other guys like that.
There weren't a lot of these young lottery tickets, if you will.
Right. Who else is there?
Not many. Let's go to Giancarlo in Queens. What's up, Giancarlo? Giancarlo.
What up?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure, man. What's up?
What's up, man?
Evan, really quick. I think you might have said something or forgot something that could be L-worthy.
Go ahead.
A couple of minutes ago, you were talking about the Mets converting infielders into pitchers, and you kind of forgot a big one.
Ike Davis. Oh, no, that was a different team. I think he got converted in, independent ball. All right, go ahead.
Jacob DeGrom?
Oh, that doesn't count. He was a minor leaguer. We don't count guys when they do it from the minors. But yes, Jake was drafted out of Stetson as a shortstop and got converted into a starting pitcher, and he was a hell of a starting pitcher. And by the way, a pretty damn good hitter.
Right, aren't all those, a lot of those, college stars?
Yeah.
Aren't they two-way guys?
Yeah, even the Mets have a big prospect, McClain, who was a two-way player, who just recently they said, you know what, just start games. So I didn't forget it. It's just I don't think about it in that regard. I think about a guy who's established as a major leaguer, then converting, which we've seen a lot over the last few years. Lukey mentioned it passingly, but Tyler Naquin was a guy the Mets acquired at the deadline in 2022. You guys may remember him. He just signed as a relief pitcher now.
Right.
So we do see guys try to make that conversion. And some are able to pull it off. In fact, the Mets have one in their in spring training right now, a guy named Anthony Gose. He was a big outfield prospect for a while with the Blue Jays, with Cleveland, and he did make the majors. So it's not like low-level minors like Jake. And he didn't work out, didn't become the guy people thought, and then got converted into a starting pitcher.
We have quarterback news.
Let's
here.
Let's hear it.
Breaking here from Brian Costello.
Jet news. Oh, wait a second. Now, the Jets already have
what does
Jordan.
That mean?
I got to digest this before you tell me, because I'm not prepared for quarterback news.
Not for the Jets.
Jordan Travis is here, but we know he's got some issues with the trainers. We've already acquired Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in another quarterback, like a veteran backup for Fields, or maybe someone else to compete
how
with
about,
him?
How about
and Tyrod Taylor's already there.
How about Tyrod Taylor request a trade or to be released?
Or Tyrod Taylor got traded.
Mm.
I'm going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got Taylor, you got Fields, you got Travis.
Started.
I'm going to go with they have traded Tyrod Taylor back to the New York Giants. I'm just kidding.
The Jets have not traded.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. This is Justin Fields related. Justin Fields has picked his number that he's going to wear for the Jets.
Oh, come on. We're going to go crazy about this.
Is it 8?
It is not 8. Think WFAN.
WFAN
66?
Nope. 60. Think about one of our colleagues.
One of our
Boomer Esiason.
Justin Fields
wearing
will wear
number seven
for the Jets.
Right. Boomer Esiason.
That's the breaking news.
So will he? Be, so what I would ask is Justin Fields going to be the best Jet to wear number seven?
Now you're trying
Evan,
to salvage.
Your thoughts.
Now you're trying to salvage the breaking glass.
I'll say this: I think Boomer would agree. I certainly hope he's better than Boomer. Not all his fault, by the way. I mean, he was screwed up by the team he was on, but. I'm trying to think of the other guys that wore number seven.
Did Gino wear seven?
Gino wore number seven. Yep. Tom Tupa wore number seven.
Tom Tupa, the punter.
Kenny O'Brien wore number seven.
Jeez, they passed this number seven around like it's nothing.
Timmy Boyle wore number
Are
seven.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
I thought this was Boomer's number. Basically, everybody's wore it.
It was Boomer's number. You know who wore it last year?
Who?
Hassan Reddick.
Come That's on. Right. Did he really?
Yes.
Boy.
The now Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
This is like your number. They give it to kickers.
But at least they just give it to defensive players and special teamers.
That's right.
Not quarterbacks.
Seven is a quarterback or kicker kind of number.
Yes.
So it is what it is. Do you think many Jet fans are going to buy Justin Fields jerseys? Does that jersey go off the shelf?
It depends on if he ends up starting.
I think
if he starts, I think yes.
Okay.
Because if he ends up starting, probably right out of the gate. Not if he starts like week 12.
Right.
But if he starts week one and he just, I don't know, miraculous, rushes for 110 yards and throws for 2 touchdowns, albeit short ones, they're going to be like, this guy's the guy.
Oh, yeah. Those jerseys start flying.
They fixed them.
I can't believe Tommy broke the glass and you and I are like, they traded Tyrod Taylor?
I know.
And then we find out Justin Fields is wearing number 7.
So disappointing.
It kind of is. Not going to kill him for it, but it kind of is. Michael's calling from Queens. What's up, Michael?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First time caller. Thanks for taking me.
I appreciate you.
So I had a comment on Tiki, the bad sleeping habits of the wives.
Right.
One thing my wife loved to do was set the alarm an hour early before she had to even be up.
Michael, you have no idea how much I hate when Tracy does that. You have no idea. And she sets like
she does it too, huh?
She sets 3 alarms, Michael.
Oh.
And one is like 6:45 and then 7:02 and then 7:17. Like she's gotta get up at 7:02 or something. But like why are you setting the early one?
I'll tell you what, man. You know, my wife's a huge Giants fan. She loved you. She's a current season ticket holder with her siblings. And maybe we should get these girls together and, they can talk it out.
Right, exactly. Don't set alarms, unnecessary alarms.
I don't get that strategy. Like almost warning you, you're going to be getting up in 10 minutes.
Yep.
But then you can't even enjoy the final 10 minutes.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
The dog gets up anyways because we have a puppy.
Right.
Millie, who's a dachshund. And so she gets up at like 7 o'clock every day anyways. So I never need an alarm because I hear the dog.
Yeah, I get that. Real quick, yesterday, I think it got posted yesterday, but Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart do that podcast. I think they do a good job, the Roommates Pod.
Mm-hmm.
And they had James Dolan on as a guest. So there were 2 things. I listened to it.
Could you tell if it was current or was it a long time ago?
It's definitely current.
Okay.
Because one of the things they addressed was Kendrick Perkins' recent criticism. And I think his criticism was a few weeks ago. So when I say recent, they didn't record this a year ago.
That's what I'm asking. They recorded it before the season started.
In season. But Kendrick Perkins, I do want to give you some background, has been a Knicks supporter. He's almost become like the celebrity former player Knicks supporter in the media because most people look to bash the Knicks.
Right.
That's just the reality. So Kendrick's been coming from a good place.
Call him a Knick jockstrap.
There you go. But while the Knicks were struggling, he criticized Brunson and Hart for doing a podcast in the middle of the season. Basically, hey, your focus should be on basketball. Your focus should be on winning. Your focus shouldn't be on recording a podcast. Here is Jalen Brunson with James Dolan sitting by his side, his boss, responding to the criticism, not just from Kendrick, but from others who say they should not be potting in the middle of an NBA season.
We keep the main thing the main thing. I mean, thanks for your opinion, and then we move forward. I'm going to say this. There are much worse things you could be doing than sitting here and talking with you guys about stuff. I just find it funny how, like, we're supposed to just, like, go to the gym, come home, just sit on the couch, and just, like, wait for the next day. So, like I said before, you can't listen to the negatives and then listen to the positives. Like, you gotta be able to either listen to both or block out both.
I'm not worried.
That's all we need to hear, right?
That's James Dolan saying, I ain't worried. I got to defend Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. As long as you're not putting your podcast ahead of the basketball that you're playing.
Right, and they're not.
Or causing things you say to be a distraction, which could happen. Ask Draymond Green or even Michael Parsons. Then I don't think it's a big deal, and I totally respect that. Like, these guys play basketball. You can do other things. I don't have to just sit there and go to the gym and shut up.
Dude, when I was playing football, I worked at Fox News. I had to get up at 3 in the morning and go to Fox News.
Right.
So it's possible, and I had the best years of my career doing that.
Would you have potted if there were podcasts during your active time? Would you have started a podcast, whether it's about football or something else?
I doubt it. I don't think so.
Which of your teammates would have hosted
a pod? I like listening to podcasts.
Right.
I don't know if I'd love doing one.
Which of your teammates would have hosted a podcast? Shockey? Like an in-season pod?
Shockey was very, like he did a lot, but he kept it all to himself. Like, nobody knew.
Right.
So it wouldn't have been Shockey. I don't know who it would have been.
Because someone
probably
would have
one
been
of
doing
the defensive guys.
Strahan.
Strahan.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Probably. And he'd been great at it because he's entertaining as hell. I don't think any of the offensive guys I played with, like Ike was very quiet, Amani was very quiet. I mean, I was the loudest one, but I don't think I would have enjoyed doing that.
You think Tom Coughlin would have done a podcast?
Hell no. Definitely not.
I'm just kidding.
Maybe actually some of my line, you know who would have? And he was only here for a couple of years? Glenn Parker.
Okay.
Glenn Parker definitely would have done a podcast because that dude could talk about anything. he could take the other side of an argument even if he had no belief in that side of the argument.
Really?
He's that kind of guy.
The other thing that was interesting from the podcast was they asked Dolan, did he ever come close to trading for a superstar? And Dolan gave an answer, we'll play it for you, in which he really struggles to remember who the player is. And then you will eventually hear who the player is, and then the odd thing he said about said player. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's James Dolan answering the question, did you guys ever come close to trading for a star years ago?
Yeah, a long time ago. I got to even remember, it was, he ended up playing for the Nets.
Oh.
Great score.
That's great score.
It wasn't Grant Hill. It was a guy out of Toronto.
Vince Carter.
Right. Mm-hmm. Vince Carter. Right? It's a great example.
Listen,
right.
The
we were going to do the trade. Oh, this is old. And the medical team came back and told us that he had a 90% severed Achilles tendon. Right. And that it would never hold up. Right. And that if once it ruptured, right, he'd never be the same player. And, for that reason,
didn't happen.
We didn't do the trade, right?
Wow.
And then Vince Carter went on to have 5, 6, 7 years of his. I kept waiting for his Achilles tendon to break. It never broke.
Nope.
No.
just hanging on for dear life.
Yeah, hey, man, you're putting in 30, 40 a night. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm like, we certainly dodged a bullet there, didn't we?
He's waiting for the Achilles to tear.
Come on. Well, wow, they got more out of Dolan than I think I've ever heard him.
Yeah, that's a great story. There were rumors about the Knicks being interested in Vince, because I've made fun of Tommy in the past. Like, hey, anytime you guys want to get a star, we get him before you. And forget Durant. I used to bring Vince Carter up all the time. So obviously it was out there that the Knicks were interested. But how about that? The doctors couldn't have been more wrong. Because VC goes out there.
Probably right.
Were they?
He just didn't. It just never tore.
He played 15 more years.
Wow.
Like, it wasn't like he had a few more years. Wow. Yeah, he had the 5 or 6 with the Nets, the 5.5 with the Nets. But then he ended up playing until he was 43 years old. Meanwhile, Dolan's like, yeah, they told me his Achilles was going to blow.
Right, and his prime years were with the Nets. So not only did he have his best years with the Nets, he went on to play for another decade.
Wow.
I wonder, so let's say the Knicks made the trade.
What year was that?
It was 2005 where he got traded, the early part of the 04-05 season. He got traded by Toronto to New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the beginning of the Knick, like, disaster. Because remember, they made the playoffs briefly in 04, and Steph was on the team. So you do have Stephon Marbury. If you make the trade, and now you've got Steph, you got Vince Carter, Isaiah's there, my assumption is, like, you'd be better, but I still think it would have ended up being a dysfunctional mess.
Who's the big?
Eddie Curry. When did they make the Eddie Curry trade?
Curry came in around like 05, I think.
See, we got to go timeline on this because then they maybe don't make the Eddie Curry trade. I'm trying to remember timeline-wise. But, like, I think things would have been better for the Knicks, don't get me wrong, because VC was a tremendous player. But I don't think it would have led to anything.
No, but it's you don't trade for Vince Carter because you got that medical, yet you bring in, like, Jerome James, Eddie Curry, Steve Francis, Penny Hardaway, all guys that had either injury histories or were older. So, but Vince Carter, well, the guy could jump out of the gymnasium. We can't have Vince Carter.
Probably on one leg he could jump out of the gym.
So does this, because I know that I still get pissed off about things 20, 30 years ago. Does this piss you off?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because I think bare minimum Vince Carter's jersey's hanging at the Garden. I mean, he is. I mean, the Nets retired his number.
No, we're different, bro. Come on. Wait, I don't want to get into this, but we are different.
Okay.
But you think you're hanging his number? Are you hanging Melo's number?
If he plays for a decade. Correct. Thank you, Teague. He would have played.
Because he played for 15 more years.
Right, but he only played with the Nets for 5.5 more years. I don't know how long he would have played for the Knicks.
Well, let's just assume he stays with the Knicks, but that's what Tommy's alluding to.
That's what I'm alluding to.
Like, if he plays for a decade and he becomes, I don't know, iconic. Of course they would, right?
No, because think about what Knicks fans say about Carmelo Anthony.
But I would retire Melo's number.
I understand. I'm not talking about you. You've been respectful of Carmelo. But if Vince came to your team you weren't really good, but he and I gave you the highlight reel stuff. I don't know, because you guys, not to criticize y'all too much, but they're so stuck in the 90s.
But don't you think that he makes them better and they become good faster?
Especially if they still trade for Melo and you have Vince and Melo.
Nah, now you're going down a road to where I don't know if all that stuff happens.
It might. You never know.
But I don't think they're good.
Melo wanted to be in New York, didn't he?
First of all, it was 6.5 years later. Like, there's a different generation of bad.
He played for 15 years, Vince Carter.
I know, but making the assumption that you make the trade for Vince, you're good, everything's fine, there's no controversies that pop up, considering Isaiah Thomas run the franchise into the ground, that he's still there, like, he wants to stay, and oh, by the way, you're still getting Melo and Stat is like an alternate history that's too weird. Like, you have to just stick with that period of time between 05 and 09. And say, okay, they're better. And he puts up great numbers, and he does statistically what he did in Jersey with my team. I think you guys maybe get to the first round and lose. Mm. And then what? You're putting his number up for that?
I think it just changes, yes. And I think you just changes.
You're not putting Melo's number up.
They are going to.
Are they?
Yes. 100%.
I don't know about that.
They are definitely retiring Carmelo's Anthony, especially because of the relationship.
Is Bernard's number up there?
I thought Bernard's might have been, maybe not, but no. Bernard should be up there as well. But Melo's is definitely, you're talking about a guy that represents the best player of a lot of people's generations. I think Melo's number will be up there. But one player coming to a franchise could change the entire perception. You don't know who's going to sign here. Just having that stability, have a great player like Vince Carter, I think would have changed everything.
Yeah, that would have been a trade, so it wouldn't have been a free agency. But wasn't that a knock for the Knicks for a long time? Nobody wanted to come there.
Yeah, they would all get right. these, I hate saying the word retread, but they would get a lot of guys that were just on the back end of their once great careers, or they would make horrible moves like a Jerome James and Vince Carter. To me, you're talking about one of the best players in the NBA. They would have had him for like bare minimum 5 years. Would have changed a lot of things.
I don't think it would have. I honestly don't. Like, I think it would have been,
yeah, but
they would have better,
knows.
But it wouldn't have changed everything. So what does that mean? I still have an opinion on it.
The Knicks fan would look at it differently than I think a Nets fan. Right.
Well, I'm not looking at it as a Net fan. I'm looking at it as a basketball fan and trying to figure out like what would have been different if he was there. And like I said, I think they would have been a little bit better.
Yeah, but that's but like, I don't that's think like trying would've... to figure out what Vince Carter would have been if he would have went to Oklahoma City.
Oh, no, it's tough. It's not easy.
Right.
Because you're right, because it leads to the other moves that happens and doesn't happen, and you don't know. Like, does the Eddie Curry trade still go down? I got to look at the timestamp on when that trade even went down.
And nobody is sicker hearing this news than, obviously, Vince Carter, because you had an opportunity to be a Nick great. Instead, you're, you know... a Net grade.
Could I even respond to that?
No, I would.
Because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
he's just trolling.
Have you noticed that what? He always brings up the Nets? I never bring up the Nets.
No, but you...
I barely talk about him.
You notice when my guy Jimmy Dolan brought it up in he said, this Nets great, and you have like six basketball guys in the room, and nobody could think of the name because they're like, Nets score? Keith Van
Horn? I think
Horn?
It's more that he was giving no hints. He was just like, Nets. Like,
well, he said Nets, great player, and everybody's like, they had one of those.
Jason Kidd was pretty great.
Not a great scorer. Though he was more of a distributor.
Did he start by saying scorer?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He said great scorer was on the Nets, and everybody's looking around going, Kerry Kittles? What are you talking about?
Kerry was good for a while. Kendall Gill? Come on. Let's go to Chris in Brooklyn. What's up, Chris? Hello, Chris.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, what's up?
You hear me?
Yeah.
So, Evan, I got a question.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Yep.
So, the Mets documentary just came out today with Juan Soto.
Yes.
How do you feel that your voice is on the documentary?
Is it? My voice is on the I haven't seen it yet, so I have no idea.
Yo, if you watch it, your voice is on maybe 25-50% of the documentary of the voice of the WFEN.
What am I saying on
it
the documentary?
Says, oh, yo, it says, oh, Soto's not going to be a Met. Soto's going to be a Met. It's a whole controversy. But your voice from the radio is on documentary.
That's very,
I just
very
wanted
cool.
to know how you felt.
Why? Well, I don't feel anything yet because I haven't seen the documentary. But thank you. I look forward to seeing it. I did admit when we found out about this documentary, I was excited to watch it. And I know that there are some Met fans. Forget Yankee fans for a second. They're obviously going to you-know-what all over it, and that's fine. But for some Met fans, it's like, hey, why are we doing a documentary? The guy hasn't played yet a game for the Mets.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need time to watch a documentary. But I'm interested. I'm interested to see how this went down and how they pursued him and got him. And I look forward to watching it.
I think it's more interesting if you do it halfway through the season. They should have held this.
What if he was getting booed at Citi Field?
He's not going to get booed. He's going to be great because that's just who he is.
Well, hold on.
He's great in spring training.
Hold on 1 second.
I mean, how many has he hit? Four?
He's been unbelievable.
Five?
He's been unbelievable in spring training. And if Vince Carter, geez, you got me thinking of VC. Rascona, who works here, who's a good Knicks fan, texted me, and I feel good because I like to get the backing of this. He's like, Vince Carter would not have changed anything for the Knicks. So thank you, Scones, for backing me up on that. And I love Vince because I don't want anyone to take that as a shot at him. I just think the franchise was, like, think about where the Nets were. Nets were a good place.
Why would they have traded for him?
To get a superstar and thinking it would take them to the next level. It wouldn't have. And this is going to be disrespectful, but I'm just going to give you the facts. The New Jersey Nets went to back-to-back NBA Finals.
Right.
That was Jason Kidd's team. Vince Carter came in, and they were good, and it was exciting, and it revitalized them after losing Kenyon Martin. He didn't take them anywhere. Let's just be real about this. And I appreciate Vince, and I was at his retirement ceremony, and I like Vince, but the idea he took them anywhere is a lie. That's not true. They were in back-to-back finals. They made the decision to let Kenyon Martin go. And yes, they helped revitalize things by bringing Vince in.
So
they never got past the second round.
So now you're slandering Vince Carter.
I'm not. I'm telling you the truth, Teague.
Oh, okay.
I love Vince Carter. Right. I'm telling you the truth. So he did what the Nets had already done. In fact, they didn't go as far. The idea was coming to the Knicks and taking them to the finals where they were going to be a perennial playoff team every year. I just think you guys are wrong.
Why? How could you, in one breath, say, well, you can't say they would have gotten Melo, Stat would have still signed here.
Because that's 6 years later. It's
okay.
Just a generation
later. All right,
later.
Fine. But how could you, in one breath, say he wouldn't have changed the franchise, but then you could say, well, he wouldn't have. Both could be true. How is one? It's just a matter of an opinion. It's not, oh, it couldn't have happened. It could have easily have happened. It could have easily not have happened, in my opinion.
Like, right. You used a lot of words there. All I'm saying is what happened with the Nets. Like, he didn't, to be fair, take them anywhere.
Right.
And again, I have a good appreciation for what he did in New Jersey. I do. I made it my business to be in that building when that number went to the rafters, but I got to call it like it is. Like, I'm not going to act like, oh my God, he took the Nets. They were in the finals in back-to-back years.
Right. But now you're talking about, or we're talking about a hypothetical that was 20 years ago.
No,
so what's the point?
I know. What was the first thing you said? Oh, the Met documentary.
Right.
Oh, no. It was Tiki saying, Juan Soto won't get booed. Let me just tell you this. I hope he never gets booed. All right?
Do you need a, you need Loogie to issue a Sean Morash rule, which is you can't boo him. Wow. Now, it's different because Sean said Yankees couldn't boo him so that he would be enticed to stay.
Yeah, he signed a 15-year contract.
He's here, so you can, but...
Tiki?
You're not gonna.
If he's okay. If he's hitting,
wait, has he ever gotten booed?
As a home player?
As a home player.
I doubt anybody that he never got booed at Yankee Stadium last year. That never happened because he never gave the fans any opportunity.
Did he get booed in San Diego?
I don't think so. I don't think they boo anybody.
Yeah, I don't think
other than the Dodgers.
Right. They're just happy because it's beautiful outside.
And I think in DC he was a king. Like, remember, they won the World 100%. Series. He's a baby. So I don't think he's ever faced boos, but when you come to New York with a monster contract, let's not get this twisted here. Mm-hmm. If he got off to a bad start, he's going to get booed. Like, this is not a controversial thing. And I hope he doesn't. Hopefully, you're right, Tiki, gets off to a great start, and he doesn't face what Lindor faced, or what Beltran faced, or what Piazza faced. By the way, it's everybody. Like, literally, I want...
Meaning everybody gets booed.
Name me a Met, a star player they acquired in their history, who didn't get booed. I've come up with two. One, Gary Carter. That's because he hit a home run on opening day and they were off. But you get my point. For the most part, when you come here with big expectations, there are going to be boos. But if you're right and he never struggles to start his Met career, then maybe we get away with this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.